we're going to start 15 lines from the bottom on Pave of Amabez by the two dots. Okay, so as you already are aware, these are the famous Shavuos Matan Torah Gemaras, as we mentioned. So we'll hopefully see a lot about the historical background and what exactly was going on during the times of Matan Torah. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Bashishi Bachodesh Ninu Aseres Hadibros Li Yisrael, Rabbi Yosi Omer B'Shivavo. So right away, the Gemara starts out with a machlokes about what date did Matan Torah actually occur. Was it on Vav Sivan, or was it on Zayin Sivan? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rava, Techule Alma B'Rosh Chodesh Asu L'Midbar Sinai. Everyone agrees that Bnei Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. How do we know that? Because Ksiv Hacha, the Pasuk says, Bayoma Zeh Bo Midbar Sinai. In Parshas Yisrael, the Torah says that on this day, Bnei Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai. Uchsiv Hasam, and the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, the famous Pasuk that presents the idea, the concept of Kiddush HaChodesh, of Rosh Chodesh, Ma'ala Halon Rosh Chodesh, Avkan Rosh Chodesh. So just as in Parshas Bo, the Pasuk is referring to Rosh Chodesh, in that case Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so to hear in Parshas Yisrael, the Pasuk is referring to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And then the Gemara further explains, Udechule Alma B'Shabbos Nitna Torah LiYisrael. Everyone also agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. How do we know that? Ksiv Hacha, the Pasuk says in the Aseres HaDibros, Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho. You have to remember Shabbos. Uchsiv Hasam, it says in and it also says in Parashat Yisro, Vayomer Moshe Elham, Zachor Es Hayom HaZeh. Right, the Pasuk also goes on to say, right, that you have to remember this day. Remember the day of Matan Torah. Ma'la Halan B'Yitzumo Shoyom, Afkan B'Yitzumo Shoyom. So just as the first Pasuk that used the word Zachor is a reference to Shabbos, so to this pasuk referring to Matan Torah must have also occurred on Shabbos. So what exactly is the machlokas then? Ki pligi b'kviya di'archa. The machlokas is, what day of the week was Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Rabbi Yossi Savar, b'chad b'shaba ikva yarcha. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, like we had this past year, was on a Sunday. U'b'chad b'shaba lo amr lehu velo midi mishim chulsha d'orcha. So Moshe didn't say anything to Bnei Yisrael on that first day on Sunday because they were tired, they were exhausted from their travels. Betray b'shaba amar lehu ve'atem tiyuli mamlechas kohanim. On Monday, on Beis Sivan, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, you're going to be a unique, special nation, you're going to receive the Torah. Betlasa amar lehu mitzas hagbala. On Tuesday, on Gimel Sivan, he tells Bnei Yisrael about not coming near the mountain during Matan Torah. Ba'arba avod prisha. And then on Wednesday, on Dalid Sivan, again according to Rabbi Yossi, that's when Moshe commanded Bnei Yisrael to separate from their wives. And again, we'll see in a second in the Gemara. More on yesterday's daf, already discussed the parameters of this machlokas about whether it should be 2 days or 3 days. So this is all according to Rabbi Yossi. However, for Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say, no, betray b'shaba ikva yarcha. Really, Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday. Betray b'shaba lo amr lehu velo midi mishim cholsha d'orcha. So again, Moshe didn't say anything to Bnei Yisrael on that first day because they were tired from traveling. Betlasa amr lehu v'yatem tihiyuli on Tuesday, Gimel Sivan, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, you're going to receive the Torah and you're going to be a special nation. Ba'arba amr lehu mitzvah sakbala on Wednesday, Dalit Sivan, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael not to come near the mountain during Matan Torah. And then Behei Avod Prisha, and according to the Rabbanan, the mitzvah to separate from their wives happened on Thursday on Hei Sivan, a day later than Reb Yossi. So the bottom line is, the Machlokas says, what day of the week was Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Was it a Sunday or a Monday? And that also translates into what day of the week or how many days was it that Moshe told Bnei Yisrael to separate from their wives? Was it 2 days or 3 days? So the Gemara now is going to spend a lot of this daf questioning both of these opinions and trying to find proofs one way or the other. The question?
Well, I don't understand the question.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Because I understand maybe they're debating what day of the week it was.
Yeah.
Well, if we say it's Ratham and Chemi.
Good. So excellent question. Blaine, that actually may play into this whole Gemara, because this is a question that many Mefarshim on Chumash address, which is that the Torah never actually gives a date for Shavuos. It just says Shavuos will be 50 days after Pesach, right? In other words, you count 50 days and you have Shavuos. So because of that fact, there may be some confusion as to the actual date, because we're accustomed to thinking, because we have a fixed calendar, right? That, for example, the month of Nisan is always going to be 30 days, right? Because Rosh Chodesh Iyar is always 2 days. Or the month of Iyar will always be 29 days, because Rosh Chodesh Sivan is always 1 day. But the truth is that before we had a calendar, whenever you had Edim testifying about the new month, you could always have, and again, the Gemara is going to talk about this on the staff, actually, you could always have one or the other. In other words, any given Rosh Chodesh could be 1 or 2 days, depending on, depending on when the witnesses showed up, which would therefore mean that, in theory, Shavuos, when Shavuos fell out, could vary from year to year. It could be Hey Sivan, it could be Vav Sivan, it could be Zion Sivan, depending on how many days of Rosh Chodesh you have. Again, because the Torah doesn't give you a specific date, it just says 50 days after, you know, after you start counting the Omer. So that's going to actually kind of play into this entire discussion in the Gemara, okay? So, much of this daf is going to be discussing and trying to prove which of these opinions is correct, based on Sukkim, based on Braisos, based on Gemaras. Again, we'll see as we go along. Okay, so the Gemara starts out by asking, Meisvei, the Kidash Shtam Hayomu Machar, Kashi L'Rab Yossi, a very, very basic question. The Pasuk in Parshas Yisro says that Moshe commands Bnei Yisrael to sanctify themselves today and tomorrow, implying that the obligation to separate from their wives was only a 2-day obligation, which would therefore be against Rabbi Yossi. How does Rabbi Yossi explain this pasuk? So Amar Lecha Rabbi Yossi, you know, Yom Echad Hosef Moshe Midaito. Moshe added a 3rd day of his own accord. How do we know that? Tisanya Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaito V'Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. There were 3 things that Moshe did on his own without first consulting Hashem, and Hashem ultimately ended up agreeing with these 3 things. So what were they? So first of all, our Gemara Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. First of all, he added an additional day where he told Bnei Yisrael, you have to separate your wives from your wives for 3 days and not 2 days. Upirish Mena Isha, Moshe divorced his wife Tzipora. And then finally, Vashibar as Haluchos, after the Egel, Moshe smashed the Luchos. So the Gemara now goes to the sources for each of these 3 things. Hosef Yomecha Midaito Mai Darish, what exactly did Moshe see fit? What drasha did he come up with to justify adding an additional day? So the Gemara explains, Hayomu Machar, Hayom Kemachar, Malam Machar Leilo Imo, Afayom Leilo Imo, the Laila de Haidna Nafkale, Shema Minad, Shre Yome Levar Me Haidna. Because the Pasuk says you have to sanctify today and tomorrow. So we know, of course, that in Halacha, a day starts from the night before, which means that a full day in Halacha means the previous night and the following day. So Moshe says, well, if the day has already passed us by, in other words, if I'm coming to Bnei Yisrael in the morning, I have to make up for the lost time from the first day. So Moshe says, I have to tack on a 3rd day, so we have 2 full days in Halacha, because we don't have, in other words, here you only have a day and a half if the command was issued in the morning. So the Gemara says, U'minelon dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yado. How do we know that Hashem concurred, that Hashem consented to Moshe's decision to add a 3rd day? So the Gemara says, D'lo sharya shechina tzafer d'shamsa, because the Shechina did not reside on Har Sinai until Shabbos morning, meaning theoretically Matan Torah should have really happened on a Friday, but because Moshe saw fit to add that 3rd day, Hashem said, you're right, we're going to add a 3rd day, and Hashem therefore did not rest his Shechina on Har Sinai until the following day. Okay, then the 2nd thing we said was, Upirish Mena Isha Mai Darish, what justification did Moshe come up with to justify divorcing his wife Tzipora? So the Gemara says, Nasa Kal V'Chomer Ba'atzmo, he made a Kal V'Chomer. Amar, he said, Uma Yisrael Shalo Dibra Shechina Imahen Ela Sha Achas V'Kava Lohen Zman Amra Torah V'Heyunichonim Al Tigashu, when it comes to Bnei Yisrael receiving the Torah, which is a one-time ordeal, and they knew exactly when that ordeal would take place. In other words, Hashem told them in advance when Matan Torah would happen, and Hashem still told them to separate from their wives either for 2 or 3 days. Ani shekol shah v'shah shechina medaberesimi ve'eno kovei alizman alachas kama v'chama. Moshe says, so me, I'm a Navi, I always talk to Hashem at any given moment. I'm always, in other words, Moshe says, I always have to be on guard. I always have to be, you know, at the height of spiritual perfection. So if Moshe was nervous that if he was engaging in having relations with his wife, let's say, he wouldn't necessarily be on a spiritual level where he could connect to Hashem. So Moshe therefore saw it as appropriate that he should divorce his wife, so he would always be on guard or always be on call to talk to Hashem. Uminolan dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yado. How do you know that Hashem consented with that decision? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says in Parshas Vayeschanan, it says, Leich emor lohem shuvu lohem liyaha leichem uchsiv basri v'yata po amodi madi. After Matan Torah, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael to all go back to your tents, to go back to living with your wives, but you, Moshe, Hashem says, you have to stay here with me, implying that Moshe was not allowed to go back to his wife. The Ista Amri, and some say that it's based on a different source coming up in next week's Parsha, Parshas Behaloscha, Pe'el Pe'adaberbo. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Behaloscha that contrasts the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu with that of all of the other Nevi'im. After Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe, about the fact that he divorced his wife and he thought he was holier than everyone, Hashem actually reaffirms that belief and says, yes, Moshe is different than every other Navi because he talks to to me directly, as opposed to all of the other Nevi'im who only experience Nevuah as a prophecy, as a dream. Moshe talks to me directly, and therefore Hashem was almost justifying the fact that Moshe had to divorce his wife. Okay, that's the second thing. Then the third thing that we said was Shiber es haluchos ma'idarish. Why did Moshe see fit to, you know, to destroy the luchos? Omar, he said, Uma pesach shehu echad mitaryag mitzvos omra Torah v'chol ben nechar lo yochal bo. When it comes to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, so that's one of the 613 mitzvos, and yet the Torah says that a ben nechar, so we usually, you know, interpret ben nechar to mean a non-Jew, but in this context, a ben nechar can also mean, as the Gemara in Pesachim explains, someone who has, you know, left the religion, someone who is forfeited, someone who's gone off the derech, right? So here, when it comes to a Karban Pesach, the Torah says that someone who's left the religion, who's left the faith, is not allowed to participate in the Karban. So HaTorah Kula Kan V'Yisrael Mumarim Alachas Kama V'Chama. So I have the whole Torah here. Moshe is coming down with the Luchos. He sees Bnei Yisrael worshipping the Egel. He says, I have the whole Torah. They're in the middle of worshipping Avodah Zarah, so of course I should break the Luchos. Of course they don't deserve to have a share in this Torah. U'minola dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-Yadu. How do you know that Hashem again consented to that decision to break the Luchos? Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, Asher Shibarta, right, that the Pasuk describes the Luchos that Moshe broke. V'amar Reish Lakish, Yishar Kokach Asher Shibarta. Hashem gave him like a shkoyach. He says, you know, great job. You know, in other words, it was a good thing, Hashem said, that you broke the Luchos. Okay. So now circling back to all the proofs that we're trying to bring for, you know, for Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, Tashma, the Pasuk says, the Hayu Nechonim LaYom HaShlishi Kasha LeRabbi Yossi. The Pasuk says you have to be prepared for the third day. That's against Rabbi Yossi, because again, remember, Rabbi Yossi was the one who said that you need 3 days of separation, implying that on the fourth day is when Matan Torah happened. This Pasuk says it seems to imply that Matan Torah is happening on the third day. So the Gemara says, gives the same answer we gave before, HaAmrina Yom Echad Hosef Moshe Midayit. Like we said in the previous Gemara, Moshe added that additional day, which Hashem ultimately consented with, but that's why the Pasuk frames it as if Matan Torah was going to happen actually on the third day. Okay, then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tashma, Shlishi, Shlishi Bachodesh, Ushlishi Bashabis, Kashul Rabbanan. So this Brisa seems to be against the Rabbanan, because this Brisa seems to imply that that Gimel Sivan, right, that the third day of the week was the third day of separation. And we know that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday, which would therefore obviously mean that Gimel Sivan would be on a Tuesday, which is what this Brisa says. But according to the Rabbanan, that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday, that means that Gimel Sivan should have been on a Wednesday. So how do the Rabbanan interpret this Brisa? So Amar Lecha Rabbanan, they say, yeah, you're right, Hamani Rabbi Yossi, you're right, this Brisa fits according to Rabbi Yossi, but it's not true according to us. But it doesn't mean that we're wrong, it just means this Brisa must have been authored by Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Shlishi Lamai. In other words, what exactly was the ramification of this third day? Lichid Esanya, the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Vayoshev Moshe es Divrei Ha'am El Hashem, Uchsiv Vayagid Moshe es Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. So there are two psukim here in Parshas Yisro that talk about the fact that Moshe, first of all, was reporting back what Bnei Yisrael said to Hashem, and also that Moshe was relating the words of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, Ma Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Uma Amar Lohem Moshe LeYisrael, Uma Amar Yisrael LeMoshe, Ma Hishim Moshe Lefnei HaGvura. So the Gemara wants to know basically, what was this whole back and forth? What was this whole conversation that was happening here between Moshe and Hashem? So the Gemara explains, Zo Mitzvah Sagbala Divrei Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yossi, this was just the commandment to stay away from the mountain, as we alluded to in the Gemara before. Right, this is the idea that once Matan Torah was happening, no person, no animal was allowed to approach Har Sinai, and if they did, they would be killed. Right, so according to Rabbi Yossi, these psukim are talking about the mitzvah to not approach the mountain, but that's not the part the Gemara really focuses on here. Rabbi gives a different interpretation of this psukim. B'tchila pirish onsha dechsev ayashev Moshe dvarim shemeshabe v'indaito shel adam ule v'sof pirish matan schara dechsev ayagen Moshe dvarim shemoshchen libo shel adam ka'agada v'ikada amre b'tchila pirish matan schara dechsev ayashev Moshe dvarim shemesh. Basically, the Gemara quotes two versions of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi of Rabbi regarding how to interpret the transition between these two psukim. According to Rabbi, there are two different things that are being emphasized here. One is the reward for keeping the Torah, and the other is the punishment for not keeping the Torah. And the question the Gemara is addressing is, which one did Moshe relate first? So according to the first version of the Gemara, Moshe first related the punishment that you get for not keeping the Torah, and that's not seen from the word Vayashev Ha'am. The Gemara in the first interpretation interprets the word Vayashev from the word Meshabevin. Meshabevin means to like push away, to scare people into keeping the Torah, into not doing Averos. And then the second half, the second pasuk says Vayagid, which the Gemara interprets things that draw at your heartstrings like Agada, like, you know, Drush, like things that are nice to hear. That's the first interpretation. The second interpretation is the exact opposite. The second interpretation says that Vayashev is a lashon of Meshivin Daito Shel Adam. It settles, it appeases your mind. So that's an expression that relates to Moshe relating about the positives of keeping the Torah. And then the second lashon of Vayagid comes from the words Kushin Kigidin. There are things that are as hard as sinews to hear. So again, that's a reference to the punishments that we get for not keeping the Torah. Okay. So the Gemara now continues. Tashma Shishi Bachodesh Shishi B'Shavis Kash L'Rabbanan. This brisa also seems to be against the Rabbanan because it seems to imply that Friday, that Vav Sivan was on a Friday. If Vav Sivan is on a Friday, that obviously means that Aleph Sivan, that Rosh Chodesh, is on a Sunday, which seems to be like Rabbi Yossi and not like the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, you're right, Hanami Rabbi Yossi. This brisa must also be reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara asks, Shishi Lemai, what exactly happened on the sixth day on Vav Sivan? So Rava Amar Lachana Yasan, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Lemasaan. There's a machlokas in the Gemara whether Bnei Yisrael traveled to Midbar Sinai. Did they travel on Shabbos and then arrive there the following day on Sunday on Rosh Chodesh? Or did they travel and arrive on the same day? Did they leave on Sunday on Aleph Sivan and also arrive in Midbar Sinai on Aleph Sivan? Why is this machlokas significant? The Gemara explains. V'kamiflagei b'Shabbos demara. D'chziv kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav kasher tzivcha b'mara. Mar savar haShabbos ifkud atchumen lo ifkud. Umar savar atchumen nami ifkud. So interestingly, this what seems to be a very technical machlokas about whether Bnei Yisrael traveled and arrived in Midbar Sinai on the same day or whether they left on Shabbos and arrived on the following day actually reflects a historical machlokas about to what extent were Bnei Yisrael commanded about the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mara. Now we know that Mara was the place where Bnei Yisrael were first commanded about a number of mitzvos, not all the mitzvos. They did not yet receive the Torah at Mara, but one of the mitzvos that Bnei Yisrael were commanded about at Mara was the mitzvah of Shabbos. The question the Gemara is addressing here is, to what degree were Bnei Yisrael commanded to keep Shabbos in Mara? Were they only commanded to keep the malachos, or to keep those things that would make you, let's say, chay of misa if you didn't keep them, like the malachos? Or were they commanded about every single facet of Hilchos Shabbos, including the Isser of Tchumen? Again, Tchumen we know means that you're not allowed to travel or to walk beyond the parameters of a city. So the Gemara says this machlokas about whether Bnei Yisrael left on Shabbos and arrived on Sunday, or left on Sunday and arrived on the same day on Sunday, is a reflection of this other machlokas about how much of Hilchos Shabbos were Bnei Yisrael commanded at Mara. If you think that Bnei Yisrael were only commanded about the malachos, but they were not commanded about the concept of not leaving the Tchum, because that's not really a malacha, so then yes, then Bnei Yisrael were justified in traveling on Shabbos, even though it was outside of the Tchum, because again, the Torah had not yet been given. But if you believe that Bnei Yisrael were also commanded regarding the Isser of Tchumen, then you have to assume that Bnei Yisrael waited until the following day, until Sunday, to travel to Midbar Sinai. So the Gemara, again, this is kind of just a historical machlokas, really, about the extent and the parameters of how much of Shabbos was commanded to Bnei Yisrael when they were at Mara. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, Tashma, Nisan Shebo Yatzu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. So the year that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that Nisan, Ba'arba'as Ar Shechtu Pescheim, on the 14th, on Erev Pesach, they shechted the Karban Pesach, as we know. Uvachamishas Ar Yatzu, they left on the 15th. Vilo Erev Laku Bechorus. Lo Erev Solka Daitach, Ela Miba Erev Laku Bechorus. The Gemara clarifies that Makas Bechorus happened the night before they left. Va'oso Hayom Chamishi B'Shabbos Hayah. So that day, in other words, the 15th of Nisan of that year, the first day of Pesach, the year that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, was on a Thursday, as we had this past year on Pesach. So the Gemara explains, Midachamisar B'Nisan Chamisha B'Shabbos. So if you're going to tell me that the 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday, that obviously means, if you just do the math, Reish Yarcha De'Iyar Shabbos. So that means 16 days later, Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on a Shabbos. V'Reish Yarcha De'Sivan Chad B'Shabbos, which means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on a Sunday, which means Kashil Rabbanan. That means that this brisa seems to be against the Rabbanan, because again, the Rabbanan believe that Rosh Chodesh Sivan of that year was on a
Monday. So how do the Rabbanan explain this? So Amri Lecha Rabbanan, this touches on what we mentioned earlier, that according to the Rabbanan, that year, the month of Iyar was a full month. In other words, there were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Sivan according to the Rabbanan that year. Again, in the calendars that we have today, we only ever have 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But again, back then, theoretically, you could have had 1 or 2 days. So according to the Rabbanan, there must have been 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and that's why everything is bumped up a day, so the Rabbanan can still fit in with this Brisa. Okay, the Gemara continues along similar lines. Tashma, Delo Avru HaNisan Shebo Yatzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Ba'arba'as Arshachtu Peschayim, Ba'chamishas Aryatzu, Velo Erev Laku Bechoros, Erev Salkadaitach, Eloema Miba Erev Laku Bechoros, Va'oso Hayom Chamishi Beshabes Haya, Hishlim Nisan, Ve'ira Iyar Lios Beshabes, Chaser Iyar, Ve'ira Sivan Lios Pe'echa Beshabes, Kashu L'Rabbanan. So this Brisa is even more problematic for the Rabbanan, because the advantage that this Brisa has is that it actually says explicitly that Rosh Chodesh and Sivan of that year, that the month of Iyar of that year, was a chaser month. That the month of Iyar only had 29 days, which means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was only a one-day Rosh Chodesh, and the Brisa still says that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday. So you can't give the answer that we gave in the previous Gemara, that, oh, it must have been a two-day Rosh Chodesh, because this Brisa says explicitly that it wasn't a two-day Rosh Chodesh. So how did the Rabbanan deflect this Brisa? So they give the same answer we gave before, Hamani Rabbi Yossi. You're right, this Brisa must reflect Rabbi Yossi, but again, it's not conclusive, it doesn't necessarily prove that Rabbi Yossi is correct. Okay. Amar of Papa, Tashma, the Pasuk says, Vayisume Eilim Vayavocho Adas B'nei Yisrael B'chamisha Asher Yom L'Chodesh HaShini. It says that B'nei Yisrael traveled from Eilim, and all of B'nei Yisrael arrived on the 15th day of the second month, the 15th day of Iyar. And the Gemara explains, Oso Ayom Shabbos, that day, the 15th of Iyar, of that year, of the first year of B'nei Yisrael up Mitzrayim, was a Shabbos. How do we know that? The Chsiv, because it says, Uvoker Urisem Es Kavod Hashem, Uchsiv Shishes Yamim Til Ketuhu. The Psukim talk about, first of all, in the context of the Mun, in Parshas Beshalach, the Torah talks about gathering double portions of Mun on Friday. In the context of those Psukim, it's clear that that day was a Shabbos. Umidachamisar Be'ir Shabbos. So now that you're telling me the 15th of Iyar was on a Shabbos, that obviously means if you do the math, Reish Yarcha De Sivan Chab, Shabbos Kash L'Rabbanan. Once again, Rosh Chodesh Sivan must be on a Sunday, which again means that the Rabbanan are wrong, because they think that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday that year. So once again, the Gemara says, Amr L'Cha Rabbanan, you're right, Iyar De'ahishata Avaru Yavru, the answer we gave earlier, which is it must be that Iyar of that year, right, was a full month, meaning there were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So again, everything is going to get bumped up a day. Okay. Amar le Rav Chavivi Michozna le Rav Ashi Tashma. This is a pasuk at the end of Parshas Pekudei. Vahivachodesh Arishon Bashana Hashinis Be'echad Lachodesh Shukam HaMishkan. In the first month of the second year, on the first of the month, meaning this is Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year. This is the year after Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. The pasuk says the Mishkan was erected, the Mishkan was established on the first of Nisan of the second year that Bnei Yisrael were traveling. So the Gemara explains, Tana, Oso Yom Natal Eser Ataros. So first of all, parenthetically, the Gemara points out, this is a very famous Gemara, the Gemara Rashi and Chumash quotes this Gemara also, that there were 10 crowns that were taken on that day, on the first of Nisan of the second year. So what does that mean? The Gemara explains. So first of all, it was Rishon Lemaisibrachis. Aleph Nisan was the day in which the world was created. This is actually a machlokas in other Gemaras, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and a few other places, about whether the world was created in Nisan or Tishrei. This Gemara is obviously assuming that it was created in Nisan. Also, the Gemara says Rishon Linesian. It was also the first of the Nisian. We know that we're going to read in this coming week's Parsha, Parsha's Nasa, right? All the, you know, famous Kriya Sator from Hanukkah, all the Nisian that are all exactly the same. So all those Karbanos of the Nisian began on the first day of Nisan. They were over the first 13 days of Nisan. The first 12 days of Nisan were the Karbanos of the Nisian. Then Rishon Lechuhuna, it was also the first day of the Kohanim, because at the end of Parsha Tzav and the beginning of Parsha Shmini, that was the time of the Miluim, the time of the inauguration of the Mishkan, when the Kohanim first started to do Avodah, because before that point, it was the Bechorim, right, the firstborns who were doing Avodah. This was the first time, Aleph Nisan of the second year was the first time that the Kohanim were the ones doing Avodah. Rishon La'Avodah, right, it was also the first time that there was like a public Avodah done in the Beis HaMikdash. Like, in other words, there were like public Karbanos, like the Karban Tamid was offered. Rishon Li'Yiridas Ha'esh, it was the first time also that the fire came down. That's the famous story of Nadav and Avihu getting killed from the fire in Parsha Shmini. That also happened on Aleph Nisan. Rishon La'Achilas Kadshim, the Gemara says, it was also the first time that they were defined boundaries about where you could and could not eat the the meat of a carbon. So until this point, you could pretty much eat the meat of a carbon anywhere you wanted, you know. But now there were limitations. You had, you know, if it was kachim kalim, you had to eat them within Yerushalayim. If they were kachim kadashim, they had to be eaten within the Azara. So that was the first time that those parameters were set in place. Rishon lishkon shechina. It was also the first time that the shechina dwelled on Bnei Yisrael, because the pasuk says v'shachanti v'socham. Right in Parshas Truma, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. Implication was that this was the first time the shechina really resided on Bnei Yisrael. Rishon levarich es Yisrael. It was also the first time that birkas kohanim was done. Also in Parshas Shmini, the Torah talks about Aaron and his children doing birkas kohanim. And then rishon leisur habamos. It was also the first time that there was a restriction of offering karbanos on a bama. A bama is a private mizbeach. Basically, Bezman is when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and for the 369 years that the Mishkan was located in Shiloh, there was an Isra to offer Karbanos on a private Mizbech. It's an Isra de Oraisa. There was only a very limited time in our history when it was permissible to offer Karbanos on a Bama. For the 14 years that the Mishkan was in Novan Givon, and the 57 years that the Mishkan was in Gilgal, it was permissible to offer Karbanos on a Bama, but that was it. There's a whole discussion about this more at the end of Masechet Zvachim about the parameters of a Bama, but Bezman Hazeh, we assume that it's completely a problem. It's completely Usher to offer a Karban on a private Mizbeach. So the first time that restriction was put in place, the Isser of offering on a private Mizbeach, was on that first day of Nisan in the second year. And Rishon L'Chadashim, of course, we know it was obviously the first Rosh Chodesh, it was Aleph Nisan, which we assume, of course, depending on whether you think Tishrei or Nisan is the first month of the year, was also the first Rosh Chodesh. So what's the point of this whole Brayso? So the Gemara says, Umidereish Yarcha de Nisan d'Haishat Achad b'Shabbos. The fact that you're telling me that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of that second year was on a Sunday, that must mean that Eshtakad B'Dalad B'Shabbos. That must mean that Rosh Chodesh of the previous year, which again is what we're interested in figuring out, was on a Wednesday. Why? In other words, how does the Gemara know that because Rosh Chodesh of this year was on a Sunday, that means that Rosh Chodesh of the previous year was on a Wednesday? D'Sanya, Achirim Omrin, Ein Bein Atzeres La'Atzeres Ve'Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah La'Rosh Hashanah Ela Dalad Yomim Bilvad Ve'im Ha'is Hashanah Me'Uberes Hey. The Gemara references a Gemara in Maseches Erechin that says that the gap or the discrepancy that exists between one day of the year, let's say Shavuos of this year to Shavuos of next year, or Rosh Hashanah of this year to Rosh Hashanah of next year, the Gemara says, it's always a four-day gap. In other words, four weekdays, unless it's a leap year, in which case it's five. So in other words, Shavuos this past year fell out on a Friday, so next year Shavuos is going to be on a Monday, because you calculate, in other words, including the days, right? So it's going to be 4 days later. Unless it's a leap year, then it's going to be 5 days later. The reason why that is because the lunar calendar is 354 days, so that means if you divide that by seven, there's going to be a remainder of four, so that means you always have to have this four-day discrepancy, or in a leap year, a five-day discrepancy to account for how many days there are. So again,
it doesn't hold true in our days, because we have multiple years where Rosh Hashanah, let's say, is 1 year after the next, is on the same day of the week. Right.
So it doesn't always hold true, but I think there may be other factors that determine when it does and doesn't apply. I think in general the principle does hold true most of the time. But again, the Gemara's point here is that if Rosh Chodesh Nisan of 1 year is on a Sunday, that must mean the previous year's Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Wednesday, and therefore the Gemara says Havali Reish Yarcha De'ir Mali Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the first year was on a Wednesday, that means that Rosh Chodesh Iyar is going to be on a Friday. V'Reish Yarcha De'Sivan Shabsa Kasha Bein L'Rabbi Yosi Bein L'Rabbi. That means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Shabbos, and that's problematic according to everyone, because no one in this Gemara said that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Shabbos. It was either on a Sunday or a Monday. So how do the Rabbanan or Rabbi Yossi explain this brisa? So the Gemara says, you're right, L'Rabbi Yossi Shiva Chaser Navod, L'Rabbanan Ches Chaser Mavod. This also is a discussion in the Gemara in Erechin, which is, how many whole or lacking months are there in the year? We know that every month in the Jewish calendar, can either have 29 or 30 days. So if it has 29 days, we call that a Chaser month. That means it was lacking. That means that there's only going to be one day of Rosh Chodesh. If it's Mole, that means that it has 30 days and there are going to be 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. It happens to be that there are 2 months every year, even the calendars that we have, that vary from year to year. So specifically, when it comes to the month of Mar Cheshvan and Kislev, so in other words, Rosh Chodesh, Kislev, and Teves will vary from year to year. So some years you can have 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and some years you can have two, and some years you can have 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Teves, and some years you can have two. So again, those are the only 2 months in the calendar that we have that vary. But if you think about it, when there was Kiddush HaChodesh, when you had witnesses who were testifying about the new month, every month could vary from having 29 to 30 days from any given year. So the machlokas here really is a very technical one. How many whole months versus lacking months were there? So according to Rabbi Yossi, there were seven 29-day months in that year, and according to the Rabbanan, there were eight. 29-day months in that year, and that is going to, you know, determine what day of the week Rosh Chodesh Sivan is going to be. And that's the way, again, to deflect this Brice. Okay, do you have a question, Danny? Question? No? Okay. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tashma, Desanya B'Seder Olam. We have a Brice. A Seder Olam was a compilation of, like, historical Brices that were written by some of the Tanaim. It says in Seder Olam, Nisan Shevo Yatsu Yisra'am Yimitzrayim Ba'arba Asar Shachtu Peschayen V'chamisha Asar Yatsu V'oso Ayom Erev Shabbos. This Brice says that the 15th of Nisan in the year that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Pesach, was on a Friday. So Umidereish Yarcha de Nisan Erev Shabbos. So if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Friday, that means that Reish Yarcha de Ir Chad B'Shabbos. That means that Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on a Sunday. The Sivan betray B'Shabbos, Kasha the Rabbi Yossi, which means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on a Monday, which is against Rabbi Yossi, which is like the Rabbanan. So Amar Lecha Rabbi Yossi, Hamani Rabbanan. The Rabbi says, you're right, that Braisa follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, like we've already seen many times on the previous stuff. Gemara tries again. Tashma, Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'sheni ala Moshe V'yara, B'shlishi ala V'yara, B'dalid Yara V'shuvo ala, U'me'achar shalom ala Mehechan Yarad, Ela B'revi'i ala V'yarad, V'chamishi bana Mizbeach V'hikrav ala Karban, B'shishi lo haya lo penai, Mai la Mishim Torah, lo Mishim Torah Shabbos. The Gemara basically says that Moshe went up to Har Sinai and came down three consecutive days on Beis, Gimel, and Dalit Sivan. On Hay Sivan, he built a Mizbeach and offered a Karban. And then on Vav Sivan, the Gemara says that he was too busy to go up to Har Sinai. So why was he too busy to go up to Har Sinai? Presumably because he was receiving the Torah. And that would seem to support the opinion of the Rabbanan that the Matan Torah happened on Vav Sivan, not on Zion Sivan. The Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Maybe the reason why Moshe was too busy was because it was Erev Shabbos. He was getting ready for Shabbos, so he was too busy getting ready for Shabbos, so that's why he didn't have time to go up to Har Sinai. And the Gemara ends off here, Dora Shehu Galilah, Ali de Rechista, this guy from the Galil gave a drasha in front of Rechista and said, Baruch Rachmana, Diyav Orion Tlisai, La'am Tlisai, Al Yadei Tlisai, Biyon Tlisai, Biarcha Tlisai, Keman Kirabanan, praises Hashem who gave the three-part Torah, meaning the Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, to the three-part nation, meaning Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, through Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the third of his family, on the third, in other words, on the third day after the separation, meaning after husbands and wives have to separate, of the third month. So who does this statement conform with? That obviously follows the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan were the ones who say that you need to have 3 days of separation. So that's what the Gemara ends off, again, proving that, you know, that this is a statement of the Rabbanan.